20 Day Fiancé.
Hello, I am the creator and designer of the hit app Homie, where you call a friend up or homie to kind of give you a thumbs up or thumbs down. In this case, we're looking for things that don't meet the homie's approval, which ends in a meh adjudication. And that's where the app name Homie comes from. So, for example, it could be maybe you had someone do some work around your house and it's a painting job and you're going to approve the trims and the other details. And maybe you just need to set another eye. You call the Homie up and they'll look at it and be like, meh, I don't know about this. Or maybe you have someone you're dating. You want them to meet the new significant other. Give the Homie assessment. They can just look at you and be like, meh. But it's honest and it's trustworthy. And that's why the app ultimately failed, because I think it was just, giving people too honest and it was too much truth. And, or maybe, random people were just showing up at your house and, maybe making things chaotic in your relationship. I don't know exactly, but that's for a lawsuit to be settled at another point in time. I am Sophia Alexandra, though. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I am the inventor and creator of an app called Hono, which is actually pretty similar to your app, where people send things to me and I say either ho no or ho yes. And I think we failed for the same reason as your app.
Well, we were too
honest.
It sounds aggressively derivative, to be honest.
Of what?
Of my proprietary idea that I just said out loud.
Rude. No, I believe that our apps came into being at the exact same time. And honestly, my app stayed around for longer than yours, but ultimately, again, we were too honest, and I will stand by that. I am Miles Gray.
Okay, well, we'll agree to disagree, but we'll both agree that this show is 420 Day Fiancé.
That's right. 420 Day Fiancé, a podcast where we discuss our favorite reality show, 90 Day Fiancé, and all of its various iterations, and we do it while we're elevated. This particular one is... Mm-hmm. 90 Day the Other Way, and the episode is called The Cost of Love.
Oh. Mm. My love don't cost a thing. I had to hit that harmony. Love, I mean, I guess it depends on who you're with. You know? Was that a movie and a song? Who was in the movie? Love Don't Cost a Thing.
No idea.
Christina Milian, that's who it was. Christina Milian and Nick Cannon with the weird dreadlocks. That's right. Thank you very much. Wow. Think you're going to keep me? I still don't. Think I'm going to spend your cash? I won't. Even if you're broke, my love don't cost a thing. I mean, wow. I mean, and again, we were talking off mic. When you rolled up in the Escalade. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the Escalade,
mm-hmm.
At one point in American culture, there was no vehicle higher than the fucking Cadillac Escalade. I will tell you the exact period of time. It was around 2000. I'm going to say 2000. Okay. The first one came around 2000, 2001.
Yes.
And that was more of like the Yukon body style. But then when they did the more aggressive.
But it lasted for a while.
Oh, yes. To this day. If I've ever been in a situation like where a car service has picked me up and an Escalade comes, I'm like, oh my, can you see me?
Luxurious, like when you get free guacamole.
Anyway, shout out to the Escalade, the concept of it, not the gas guzzling, all that shit. But
no.
At a point in time, if you
just
pulled up in like a
stunting
candy paint, like if it was like cobalt blue, like on 22s?
Stop.
On bags?
Stop getting me all horned up on Maine right now.
I would have been rubbing against that motherfucker.
Meow, meow. Meow's gonna lead. It was like when the Bronco was hot. Remember that shit?
Yeah. I mean, the Bronco's coming back. It looks kind of dope.
The Bronco's pretty dope.
I mean, look, it was dope before OJ I mean, OJ made it iconic.
Exactly. You know?
It was OJ made great, it the car to have.
It was a great vehicle that became an iconic vehicle.
It was iconic.
Murder and Escape for that murder really put that iconic vehicle on the map.
With the backdrop of the World Cup in 1994, a lot of eyes were on this place. And
All eyes on Ford Bronco.
All eyes on Bronco.
That's what I was trying to do, but I didn't do a good job.
Shout out to Tupac. You know what? Also Tupac, who's still alive, by the way. So all of that to say, because we were talking about the title, Love, what was it? My Love Costs a Thing?
It is the
cost of love. Okay. It seems like it could be high for some people, like the two hosts of this show. And we will see ultimately what it costs. I don't know if they paid the cost to be the boss. We don't know if they're Rick Ross, if they're just out here flossed, dripping and stuff. They got it at Ross.
Oh man, I miss Ross so much.
People are lined up at Ross. I drove by a Ross.
This was before,
I get people are trying to do shit before Thanksgiving, like everything's kind of hectic, but like two weeks ago, people were like out here trying to get their shopping on. I get it, they got the deals at Ross, you know, you find a little gem at Ross.
I want a raw dog, a Ross dress for less right now. Just lick that whole fucking thing.
Could you imagine?
I'm sorry.
Remember when you could just
leave
like
this podcast?
No.
To be alone.
Anyway, shout out to when you could have just put your head in a whole rack of clothing at a Ross.
Oh man, I miss so much about it.
Remember smelling shit?
All the face masks I got there. Why, God?
All the cookware and candles I buy at Ross.
What about the dish towels? Turmeric, that's always cheap there.
Mm-hmm.
What about vanilla?
Yep.
Come on.
Fuck. All right. Let's talk about this show, though.
Yes.
Ross, also holler at us, you know, because we paid the cost to save more at Ross. Submit and Jenny. What a bummer
sequence of events.
There's just basically the whole rub of this episode is that they are having his parents over because his brother basically, you know, the last episode ended with her being like, "Wow, it's just not fair. Like, why can't we be together? This is work because I'm old. I can't help it." And that's so heartbreaking. Our hearts were broken.
Yeah, we legitimately got really, really sad. We're like, she can't help being old.
Yeah, she can. It's just like, you know, like anything. I get it, you know.
And also, it's like, he's been fucking around off and on with her for like 8 years. Clearly, it's not going away.
What if she's like, you know, I can use the N-word because I can't change that I'm old, you know? Like, it's like being black. That's how I look at it, you know? I can't help it. I'm like, Jenny.
Have a little sit down.
Let's, you know what? I liked it better when we were just looking at stuff together at Ross and we kept it about the deals.
I know.
Rather than talking about why Gold Digger wasn't even playing and you just decided to sing the lyrics out loud. But okay, Jenny.
So, essentially,
because she talks about it, his brother is like, I'm telling the folks.
Oh, unless I thought that you was a first. Real fucked up move. By the brother and the sister-in-law. It's like, why are you so committed to selling him out, you little fucking bitch-ass traitors? That was
fucked up.
Where he's like, oh, if you don't tell the parents, then, you know, we will.
Well, because, you know, I don't want him to hear out another way. I mean, it's true. That's, I get if you respected
okay,
your parents, you'd want them.
But it's not on you.
Yeah, but you know, this they're on some other shit. You know, he's a little snitch. He got the protective card
he's
on.
He's got
leaving
that bitch snitch
he's living,
energy.
He's got his wife out here cardless. Okay. I'm sorry I had to raise my voice, but he had this woman exposed without a protective card against COVID.
Snitches get stitches. And if you only get one card for the family, I don't know.
It ain't for
you. Maybe you're not honorable in the face of COVID.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I still need to know.
That is the greatest scam. Who is making these cards? Holler at us. Who's making these anti-COVID neon green laminated lanyard cards?
It's me.
I wish.
It's been me the whole time.
If it was you, I know you wouldn't be up in here doing this podcast.
No, it's the perfect, the perfect ruse. But he's a podcaster. It can't be him.
No, he obviously needs money.
Yeah. They're like, but he has like a mattress and a nice cookware. Those are all free. It's not with money. It's all.
But have you seen his fancy away suitcase? No, it was promotional.
But the battery pops out.
There was a code for it.
So, yeah. The big snitch energy is bad. The lack of card for your significant other is a very, very bad look. You know, if I just want to say, if you believe in it, you have to provide for your loved ones too. It can't just be like, you're really just going to be like, oh shit, well, I got this card and not like I can cut it in half, you know?
I bet he was like telling her some shit like, oh, the card's just like, it's per family. So like, if I wear it, like it automatically protects you.
Oh my God.
I bet that's what he was. He was on some shit like that. Because otherwise, and then she was like, okay, so then why don't I wear it? If it's per family, then why don't I go ahead and wear it?
Nah, see, it's the same thing. Like, well, I got that 4 or 5 in the nightstand. You know what I mean? That I have that only we. If I have the gun, we're protected. Not everybody doesn't need
like,
a gun.
But
in
like
here.
I took a marksmanship course, so I feel like maybe I should have it on.
Yeah, and that was kind of a fluke. I don't know how you actually had a better score in that test, but
yeah,
bottom line is you don't. You know
shot.
Less.
That's there's. The I test don't. Is not objective. I hit
wouldn't
in the center of the target every time. So
right.
I'm better than you.
But just because you're better than me every time we do that doesn't mean you're better than me, if
that's
you get what I'm saying.
That's literally exactly what it means. So
how do you
I'm going to take this gun.
Okay. Well, okay. That's fair. But what I'm saying is just because you have it and you think you are.
Don't make me hate you with this gun.
All right.
I don't even need to shoot it. I'm
let
just
going
to hate you.
You know what? You're right. Let
it.
Me just get back to biting these toenails off, Ma. Kitty hungry. Let me just get down on this big toe. I'm sorry. Why am I talking? Yeah, that's funny. Why? That's a weird sound my mouth makes when I ain't got a big toe in it.
Seriously,
when I should.
Why don't you Chip and Dale these feet, bruh?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's card
get
per
to
family.
Brothers.
I believe, though, just like guns, everyone should have a gun. You know, your baby should have a gun. Your dog should have a gun. Your fucking fish should have a gun. Everybody needs a gun. Everybody needs a card. One
My
card per
have
person.
One gun per paw.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, son. Four guns per cat?
How they roll.
Is that a foot or is it the back ones are paws, too? They call that No, yeah,
I
the feet. Instead
say,
of feet, they're called paws. I'm
say
sorry.
Front feet and back feet.
Yeah,
because I'm.
I call them little cookies. Look at
little
things.
I'm an animal expert. I'm a little shocked.
Thank okay. you, Dr. Sophia.
Anyway, medically speaking, they are hands and back hands.
There you go. You heard it here first. Let's lock that in. So. Yes.
Wait. I just want to say, if we're comparing brothers, the brothers featured on this episode.
Yeah.
The really fucked up shitty brother is Amit. And
oh, yeah.
The really dope brother is Obaida.
Obaida,
so
I mean.
So I just want to say, if it was a brother Olympics in this episode, one person.
Oh, yeah. Obaida.
Place.
Just,
and Obaida's
yeah,
up in
legend.
With the angels.
Legend. Legend. So, yes, but to head off the warning from fucking snake-ass bro and Mitt with your fucking loser-ass dog with your one card having ass, fucking no card for your wife having ass, loser motherfucker. Oh, my God. Looking like some fucking...
Also, she's too cute for you. Mm.
Yeah. Is she wearing contacts or is that her eye color?
I don't know. Either way, she's cute.
Either way, what she's bringing, what she's serving, I'll say yes, please, too.
May I have seconds, please?
Thank you. is contact lens or no? Either way, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't have even asked. She's captivating. So the way to head off the parents is to have them over for dinner. And so they cut to this scene of like Jenny and she's cooking. And I could have swore to God, it looked like she was chopping up some Nature Valley bars, like a trail mix or something. And then putting that
in. It's a bag of brown sugar. Is it too sweet?
Oh my God, it's perfect. It's perfect. More perfect than my toenails? Nothing's more perfect than that. Trick question. Aha, uh-huh. No such thing. Because that is the greatest thing I could ever eat all day, the rest of my life, forever.
I pretend they're corn.
Is there nutrition in toenails?
No, because they're
even
dead.
If it's someone else's?
No.
Like maybe a little calcium?
No.
No?
Nope.
Oh, man.
And I bet they're real pokey coming out your butt.
Well, I guess I just lost a big bet with my doctor. Oh, shit. All right, well. We'll put a pin in that. Yep.
That's a whole other thing. That's what feel like when you're pooping, that there's a pin in it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Just looked like a spiked bat made of toenails.
I just want to say that you didn't want to refer to notes for this episode, so it's on you.
Look, this
is. It's what it is. I took some.
Look, we were talking about Nate. Because you know what? You started talking about the food, and then I'm going to keep talking about toenails. We've lost
on
the thread.
You, bro.
Okay, let's get to the hard bit. So.
The toenails were the hard bit.
Oh, boy.
Especially that big one.
Shout out to toenails. And also, shout out to toenails, too. Jenny's toenail stew. Purely toenails. Purely Elizabeth. Okay.
That's the Raven.
Oh my God. We'll get to Raven. Oh, we'll get to Raven. Okay. Purely Elizabeth. So, purely Elizabeth. Also sounds like an off-brand, like Hanson's soda.
I'm so happy that you think Purely Elizabeth is as funny as I did. Because when I came up with it, I laughed so hard when I saw it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And no one cared.
Doesn't matter.
I think I even told Anna, and she was like, okay, cool. She's standing next to me. She's like, this is not important to me.
They're like, please leave me alone. Please leave me alone right now. It's 12:45
at
night.
Producing the Daily Zeitgeist. Can you not talk to me in the kitchen?
I'm working on Las Culturistas, a funny podcast.
But you wouldn't know anything about that. Can you step off right now?
Yeah, keep doing the toenail bits. See how many sponsors it gets.
No big deal. Got to record my successful Do You Want This Rose podcast.
No big deal. I'm going to keep eating some dead heel skin out of a bowl. Okay. NBD. NBT. No big toe. So she's making her delicious stew for mommy and daddy to come over. And yo, when they pull up though, his mom was like WWE. She's like, fuck that. When I see Jenny, it's ugly. Smith is coming home with us tonight. Like it was we will take no prisoners type shit.
The yelling was so intense and uncomfortable. Oh, man. When Jenny ran out of the room and she was like, I can't do this to the family. I was like, yeah, that's exactly my reaction. I would have ran the fuck out of there.
That's just way too much. Way too much. And it kicks off with them just being like, look, so you need to leave with us today or we're dead to you. And we're just, you might as well just consider us dead if you're with her. And the vibes are just so bad. And, you know, at that point, Submit is just like, nah, look, fuck that. Let's just get straight to it here. I talked to a lawyer. They told me I can do whatever the fuck I wanted. You have no real legal objection. So there's really nothing stopping me in that respect. And she's like,
there's no law. And then there's like, and then they go, there's no law above your parents.
Exactly. You will respect the law of the parents from on high. It felt very, that was her card she played, you know, shout out to mom for trying to do that and just saying, you know what, hell fucking no. And he kept saying, look, I don't love anybody like I like her. This is what I want to do. And fuck that. Like, I don't care what y'all say. Like, this is what I want. Like, we're here. We've reached that point. And credit to him, because we've always speculated about how he would behave when it got to this point. Because this was always inevitable. Like, when he would have to be like, I'm sorry, y'all. Like, I'm
this
getting
this is the
married.
Confrontation it was all leading up to, their entire relationship.
Right. Exactly. And we're here. He's definitely standing up for himself. And it gets to the point where, you know, he's so adamant, his parents just start freaking out because they realize the old way of like just saying like, you better fucking come with us right the fuck now isn't working. It's like that moment like when like your mom is like trying to smack you, but you block it the first time.
Yeah, me and you were talking about that the other day.
And then your mom is like, what? Oh.
My power is no good here.
Now, I guess I'm the student. And then you're like, you know, it's like fucking Neo in the Matrix. And he's like, I know Kung Fu. You know, like you've crossed over. Like, they're kind of realizing that too. Like, that old school shit where they would just be like, whack. Like, no, get your ass in the fucking car. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't work anymore. Like, that doesn't work. And they feel very powerless. And then his dad just becomes the wild asshole who's like, look at her.
Yo,
what is
some of the wild shit that the dad says is like, this is all you can find?
Look harder. It's the best you can do.
Oh, yeah. Look harder. Oh,
he's like, what are you going to do? Find a 100-year-old? What's next? He's like, I've seen American Women.
He's like, why don't you get another oldie?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's ugly. You know, obviously, you know. Just put the parents in there for now because they're being so ridiculous.
My favorite though is when they blamed her being old for him getting gray hair.
I know.
They're like, her oldness infected you.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Now you're old too.
She's like, please. Also, when my mom's here, don't get her started on 5G or anything about cell phone towers. Please, just don't. That's
just
why,
made me laugh because I'm like, remember that they met 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going gray now because it's been 8 years. That's how time works.
Yeah. He's in his 30s.
Fucking freaks.
That happens. They're just, it sucks because, you know, the parents are taking this just too personally and they are just at the will of the culture at large. They're not willing to stand up for their family. They're saying like, nah, we go with the flow because standing up to the current is like just something we're not willing to do because it does take a lot, especially when you live in like a culture that is just so set in doing things one way all the time. So, but at the same time, you're like, damn, man, like, why can't you just be like, you know what, dude, that's what my son, that's what he's into. Like, that's who he's in love
with. That's his vibe. Yeah.
Like, let him rock. Like, they're fine. They don't fight. I mean, her feet have never looked better. His teeth have never looked more jagged and broken and chipped from whatever he's doing at night. I don't know what's happening, but they're not bothering anyone. Let them live. I mean, his one tooth is so sharp, he keeps cutting his bottom lip. I think it's because he's just sharpening it on those toenails. I don't want to speculate. But you've seen his jewelry, right? I'm not the only one. I think something's going on. It's very toenail-y.
I do want to say that basically it's kind of crazy hearing them saying, like, we now have to look at the ground. We're so ashamed because of who he's chosen to love.
Yeah,
and like,
sure.
I feel the one thing about like growing up part of a culture that tells like you a certain narrative is it doesn't occur to you at the moment to just own it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how it is when you're a kid and you get made fun of.
Yeah.
It like takes you so long to like later be like, why didn't I just say this?
Well, you're operating.
It's not even like a cool, like necessarily like, you know, insult back or anything, but like you've not like. Just the fact that you're like, oh my God, this is like that you would never just be like, this is hilarious. What are you doing exactly? Like, and then you say,
Yeah, well, because ultimately by doing that and lowering their eyes, or in your case, like if you're getting made fun of and like feeling bad about it, you're operating within the framework of like your oppressors. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're not rejecting the entire framework of it. And you're saying, well, that's in your world. I don't live in that world.
Exactly.
So you look through that and that's what I guess I look like to you, but I don't live there, honey, because where I live, nobody is doing it better. You know, and like just saying like, that's the difference, is saying, well, that's what you think, you know, like that's, but I don't, that's not how I'm getting down. I don't think that's bad. My whole thing is I want people to be happy, not they're supposed to be in a relationship where they can have viable children and it's about procreating and blah, blah, blah. And it has to be age appropriate and culturally appropriate. Like, nah, it's like, fuck that. I'm on some other shit. So sorry. You know, reject the framework of your oppressors and
exactly.
Empower yourself. That's
it
all
makes
you
me
do.
Think of like, I posted a picture of me the other day on like TBT or whatever. And it was when I got a short haircut when I was in high school. And I started getting called a dyke in school.
Mm.
And it really like made me upset, which is like later, because I am queer. It just
right.
is like, why didn't I just say like, like girls and, but it doesn't fucking occur to you then to just
no.
say the like very obvious thing of like, that's not an insult. That's just an observation.
Well,
same as
yeah.
when like people made fun of me for having a big nose. It's like, yes. And
right.
Like, and what else are you saying other than just a fact?
Well,
you know
you
what
don't.
I mean?
Yeah. It's because it's the fear of the loss of you're saying, well, if I stand up to that, then I'll alienate myself. And then that's when you have to ask yourself, is that the kind of attention or support you need? Is that the world? Because if it's that world, that's going to be a pretty fucked up place to be, because nobody's really fucking with you. But, you know, if you look at it the other way, there's plenty of people that are looking at it the same way you do. And are like, oh, fuck yeah, I like your haircut. Yeah, do you, you know, get
exactly.
with Jenny. But please, sir, please, you know, while I appreciate you are spitting the skin fragments and toenail shards into a Ziploc bag, just this is a train and there are people around and it's just a little upsetting.
Please don't snack on them.
Yeah.
We don't care if you brought a
yes,
dip.
Yes, I know
Please
you're saying
don't
you're
snack
not
on
eating them.
Them
because yes, I
but
understand
everyone
you're
can
spitting
hear
them
the
into
crunching.
The bag. I understand you're not digesting them, so you're not eating, so it's not snacking. But you understand what I'm saying. It's just
snacking when you take them out of the bag and then dip them in hummus and eat them. That's fucking snacking. Can you not do that on the train? The other passengers are throwing up.
Yeah. And please extinguish that campfire. I don't know what you're doing. Are you deglazing a pan of skin flakes with, you know what? Let's just, what are we?
We are done here. This is what happens when we
okay, yeah.
Notes.
Okay,
you're
we gotta
wrong.
Go. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
420 Day Fiancé. America's so fucking tight. America.
And we're back. And
Jaws on and free.
Wow. This is something. Because the translator comes through.
Love me, Adam the translator.
Adam the translator, bless up.
He honestly does his own version of events. I enjoy that he just... He's like, you know what? I'll translate how I want.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
I'll take some liberties.
I'm Shakespeare up in this. I'm a dude.
That's how he felt. He's like, I'm an artist. I'm not a translator, you hoes.
He's an actor. You know?
He's like, I'm going to talk about this to James Lipton on the Actors Studio. Was
yeah.
that he's dead?
Oh.
I did not count on that.
Is there a hologram? No.
Come on, Kanye did it for Kim. You're telling me you can't do it for me?
Okay, so I have to get with Kanye?
I'll Fine. Do it. I won't like it, but I'll do it.
But I want to have my Inside the Actors Studio mom, if you don't mind, because I am Adam at your service. I don't even know what the fuck that was, but anyway.
He just says stately, you know?
Yeah. No, and I don't mean to even, I'm not even trying to drag him because actually.
No, we legitimately love
yeah,
Adam.
We'll get into him. He deserves an Emmy after all this. So Yazan is like, look, I got this translator, Adam. And he is going to translate because I feel like there's just a lot I can't express. And I really need you to understand how complex everything is and for you to understand where I'm coming from. So you just don't think I'm saying like I'm blaming me wrecking my car on you. Like there's a lot of shit going on that I you're not understanding. So they get there. Angela's there. She's very polite and she's very like, okay, I see what's happening. Hello. Okay. And there's Adam. And now let's get to down to everything. He was like from the BBC or some shit. You know, Adam's whole like delivery.
I loved his whole vibe.
It was so eloquent and like put together and like, but had a bit of theater to it. And he was like, you know, like, I just want, Yazan is saying that he is willing to lose it all for you. But he wants to make sure that you understand that as well. And you're like, wow, Adam, I don't. Oh my God, Adam, what are you saying?
It made me feel like I needed him to read any kind of correspondence I might get. You know, like, you owe Verizon $120.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, that sounds so much better when you say it. I'm mad when I read it.
Sam, the first night at bed when you left, Ron made out with two girls and put his head between a cocktail waitress's breasts. Also was grinding with multiple fat women. When you left crying at Clutch, Ron was holding hands and dancing with a female and took down her number. Multiple people in the house know. Therefore, you should know the truth. Thank you, Adam.
Can you tell people what you read?
If you don't know, you don't. If you don't know, Google what I said and do some deep diving. That's culture right there. If you don't fuck with it, you know what I was talking about. Google everything I said. That's the Jersey Shore note. Anyway. So, yes, Adam really getting it all out there. But as they all go through it, like she's starting to sort of understand, like, because it is being put out very clearly. What is going on and what the stakes are for him. He, like, Yazan still doesn't mention the thing that, like, his life is at risk. Like, he's still kind of, like, you know, slowly revealing it. I guess because you don't want to be, like, come with
the
wild.
He said that he didn't think that she was ready for all of the reveals all at once. And that, like, Adam having the conversation with them was, like, one part. But then, like, part two would be with Obaida, the brother. Because he was like, I don't think she can even handle it. This is like a lot as is. And he's right.
Handle it? Yeah.
I don't think you can handle it.
Woo! Oh, man. What is that?
That's Destiny's Child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bootylicious. I love that video.
What's that song? That's the Fleetwood Mac sample, though.
Just like the sing the song. And then And then the outfits are like Michael Jackson tribute.
Jeez, look at us. We're living in the year 2001 or whatever the fuck that was. Okay, so
Kelly,
yeah.
Can you handle this?
Wow.
I don't think you can handle this.
Woo! So, yes, after that little moment, they're like, they chew on that. Then I do have to just point out, Angela, you were bed packing. What the fuck
Ooh,
was that?
Angela, that's Cancelvania.
You know, I'm sorry, Angela. You were doing so well. And then you were like, it was so intimate, the bed packery.
It was aggressive.
Not in this packery. We will not have that here. It was just something else. I don't know. Anyway, they're bed packing.
In this packery.
Yeah. No, not today. You know? But Brittany was telling Angela, she's like kind of starting to realize sort of what is at stake. You know, she really did kind of, you know, point out that it's a lot more strict for him. The stakes are high. It's not just like a relationship. He might not have just been playing games and being fucking, as she says, like just acting crazy all the time, that he is operating in a very like tense situation, and that's like the best he can do, which was odd because I was like, oh fuck, she's finally like, she said the thing out loud that we've been saying since like the first episode.
Yep.
Where she's now being like, oh my, it's not a game for him. So I can't just be like, you know, making it clap in front of a street bike, as much as we love the content, you know, but for him, it's like a real source of chaos. And so all that, you know, all that to say is she had Yazan set up a meeting with her in Obaida.
Oh, the thing that I wanted to say that drove me kind of crazy is why did she, when she was talking like to Yazan after that whole thing, say like, I still don't know if Yazan's for real.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck does that man have to do? He literally has been abandoned by his family. He got a new job. He got an apartment. Like, what the fuck do you want from him? He told you you don't have to convert, that he would marry you as a Christian. Like, if you're not serious about this, you need to quit fucking with him.
Yeah.
So well, it just, this was wild to me, where at the end she's like, yeah, that was a good conversation, but like, is he for real?
Is he like playing games? I don't know. I'm like, he could be playing games.
So it's like, you know how when like a person like says that they're like a thing and then they like do that exact thing? What kind of game is that?
Huh? What the fuck kind of game is this?
What are you telling the truth? You say the thing and then you do it? What am I supposed to get from that?
You're toxic. You're fucking toxic.
This is fucked up, and this would never happen in America.
Oh my God. Did you just... I can't deal with your honesty. Like, it's fucking...
Did you just fucking deliver on a promise to me? Did you just fucking deliver on a promise to me in front of God and everyone?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I'm leaving you.
Yeah. Well, she's in denial. She's in denial, like, that something that she could actually be fucking up, too. That her... That she could have had it wrong. That he is sincere. That it's cost him a lot of things. And for her, it hasn't probably barely even cost any money, considering the fact that she's always like, you need to fly me out. Like, I don't see where the damage has been done on her end, aside from, like, you know, indulging this relationship, it being really fucked up, granted, like, it's not good. And then just being like, oh, fuck that. All right, I'm gonna go home. Whereas he's like, you know, I have uncles that might fucking clap me, like, in the street. I don't know what's gonna happen. Who knows?
He's so, like, I'm risking murder.
Yeah.
You're risking nothing? Nothing. You won't even put a fucking less titty-licious shirt on.
Yeah, you still somehow made a girl's trip out of visiting me with your friend. So I don't, yeah.
Jordan! Here we go. Who's coming to Jordan, girl's trip?
You know what it is? What happens in Amman stays in Amman.
Stays in Amman, because you get murdered if you do anything crazy and you're a woman.
But it's sick, though. Whatever, we'll do it. But yeah, the meeting is really interesting because, again, Adam, gives another stellar performance in which Obaida, it felt like so, I have to give it up. The producers killed it with the scenery. This like a hilltop.
That garden. Was so beautiful. That's when I was like, I want to go to Jordan. I'm going to get a girl's trip there. Low key, not a joke. Going to go on a girl's trip to Jordan.
I was like, I want to smoke a blunt there. You could like see everything from there. It was so wild. You could
beautiful.
Fucking.
Beautiful.
Almost to the point where you could be like, yo, send a flare up really quick. Or like smoke signal. I'd be like, oh, I see you right there. Look, I got my cell phone light on. You see me?
It was so wild.
Anyway, all that to say, like, they're having this like meeting, you know, where the brother is in need and things are at risk, and it felt like this is like very like Shakespearean. I don't know, this is a very odd scene. Before that though, point number the first, Obaida's hair is impossible. I have to say that. I've never, it was like, it's like from a video game.
I'm just saying, a double team with the brothers.
You know, let's just, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
You know what I love about
London Bridged?
Hey, you know what?
You know what I mean?
It wouldn't be falling down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you know
what I'm saying? Boy.
I'm so sorry.
just call me a skewered pig.
I am I'm so sorry.
Just spit roast me. I'm sorry. It's rotisserie time.
What I wanted
time.
To say is I know that K1s feel me because one of them sent a photo of Yazan and his brothers, and I was like, see, this is the kind of content I'm here for.
It's what we need.
So shout out to you, K1. Thank you.
I will say this. Yazan is fine. I do follow him on Instagram just because I was very concerned. I wanted to make sure he was not like actually hurt. When they teased that, I was like, oh my. Like,
our account follows him. 420 Day Fiance follows him.
Oh, thank goodness.
No, I'm just saying we follow like 5 people or something. 9 people.
Oh, gotcha.
They're really very exclusive. So.
So, yes. When they have this sit down, he's like, look, let me just break it down for you really quick. I'm not like angry or anything. I'm just afraid for my brother because the way my family's looking at it is him marrying you means he's going to turn his back on the culture and completely just shun everything our family stands for. And essentially they see that as a rejection of them. And that's just not going to happen. And it's going to be an embarrassment. That's not going to work. So people are mad.
And he tries to, and I think like he, it's kind of funny that he was really, really like kind of strongly against Brittany. And then the second she cries, he's like, oh God, what do I do? And then he's like, I'm going to pat her back. Fuck, here's a handkerchief.
Here, let me wipe your tears
he's
away.
He's like, okay, I'll wipe the tears. He's like, oh my God, this is how she got him, isn't it? Oh no.
Oh fuck.
And you could say
just stop. Just... Whatever you want.
Exactly. He was like, do you want me to marry you? I'll do it. I don't care.
Look, what do you want? What, you want me to cut one of my fingers off? What do you
want me
to do?
Throw Adam off this mountain? I'll do it. I don't care.
No, please, Obaida. That won't be necessary, Obaida. We shan't throw anyone from the hill today, Obaida. We shan't throw anyone from the hill. Obaida, I would please advise you to stand back, sir. Do stand back. I will not be disturbed upon this hill today, sir. Good day to you. I went to Juilliard. Or a community college in Lansing, Michigan. And I've put on an accent. I'm really... My name's Adam. My name's Adam. I'm from Lansing, Michigan.
I'm a little lonely.
Am Jordanian, you know, but I'm not a Shakespearean actor, even from England. Just an American kid, just, you know, like anybody else. And, you know, I love my Old Navy fleece, as you can tell. It's really comfortable. Sometimes I like to zip it up. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But anyway. But unhand me, Obaida.
Obaida comes correct for his, like, about the entire situation, saying, like, I don't care what the family says. I'm always going to stand by Yazan. He's my brother. And that's, like, what being a brother is. A brother is someone who stands by you.
Oh.
And then he says, you know, I didn't like Brittany, but then she cried so much. How can you cry so much if it's not real? And then I was like, ooh, you have so much to learn.
Oh, you naive little angel, Obaida.
Yeah.
I mean, only sweet. A sick miscreant would lie and cry with such intensity. I couldn't imagine someone being able to conjure up that kind of emotion. Did you say conjure up emotion? Allow me to wow you, Obaida, with my skills of emotional control.
Oh. Have you heard of Death of a Salesman?
My mother. Obaida. My dear Obaida.
Do you see? Thank you. And for $49.99, you can take my online Zoom class, Acting with Adam. Okay, so, I don't know.
Aryan baby, yeah?
Yeah. Just quick pivot to that.
I'm sorry, plus 100K for the thespianism that just occurred.
No, that's actually for you. Adam, who I believe, though he really did change, he made this show so much more human when, like, you're not reading subtitles, and it's almost as if I was picturing him being whoever the person was, and I was like, right, Obaida, that's true. You are scared. Oh my God. Anyway. So, baby and Ari, they gotta, you know, Janice, before she leaves to go back to home, apparently Dr. Fred.
Not sure this is a good place for the baby to grow up. Bye.
Bye. Anyway, if you wanna take it back home and you wanna just completely spike this marriage and like steal the baby away, like your daddy and I will fly you back home and tell you a jet to get you out of this hell world. Bye.
Your little princess. Bye.
Okay, don't worry. You don't have to be patient or adapt or actually live with the consequences of your decisions. Okay, we'll come bail you out like we always used to. Bye. It's like when you got drunk that time, you got a Mustang, and then you rear-ended that police officer, and then luckily we knew him, and we had to bail you out, and then we got you a new car because you said you didn't like the way it looked from all the damage. Bye!
It's this whole thing about how you are a tiny, tiny, whiny little baby, and how we will protect you no matter what you do.
Bye!
Love you so much. Bye!
She really did spike the whole thing on the way out. She smoked. She was like, I'm gonna just leave this here. This mess.
She's like, yeah, try not to think about this when you go to sleep tonight. Bye.
Bye, bitch. Bye. I'm going to go fuck Dr. Fred. Bye.
Who had to leave early so you can see me just really fuck with your head like this.
Because your daddy's getting it warmed up back at home. You know, Ariella. You know how we do, Ariella. Oh, God, Mom. Please don't do that.
All right.
What does her dad do?
He's a doctor, remember? Dr. Weinberg.
What kind of doctor?
I mean, I assume like the medical kind. He has that look, you know?
Okay. Dr. Fred Weinberg. Cardiology.
See? Fucking told you.
What do you mean? Well, is it, as opposed to what? Like
he said like a medical doctor instead of like, I don't know, a doctor of theology or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying
yeah.
MD.
Oh no, we knew
because
no, we saw like because that office he had. I remember he was like, it was very chaotic. I felt like there was a moment I could have swore I saw his office. I was like, oh, Dr. Fred, please organize in here, Dr. Fred. You just have my cardiology records out for people to just casually look at.
He actually just has them strung up like the libraries used to have, like journals and yeah. newspapers
what
on that
the
wooden
fuck?
Stick.
Why you're did like, you? Yeah. You cut them into little shapes of people holding hands.
Like, did you not know about HIPAA? Like, people aren't
what
allowed to just look
this?
At these.
What? I just went to Ethiopia. It's really something.
It's changed me.
Okay, Dr. Fred. Janice gets
please,
home.
Please,
we're gonna
take
have
off
sex.
That dashiki. That doesn't even make any sense.
Oh, thank you. I it's okay. Maybe it is too much. The hat too. I can leave the hat on.
No,
I'll leave
the
hat on.
The hat also has to.
But
go.
It's Mike. I really like this kufi. I feel like it really suits
stop.
Me. The kufi suits me. The kufi suits me. The kufi doesn't suit you. The kufi doesn't suit you. I'm telling you, Dr. Fred, take it off. You look like a problematic cosplayer.
I'm so glad Jerry Seinfeld came back to the show.
You look like you were, if they were doing adoptions in Wakanda. That's you. You wouldn't be able to explain it any other way.
Looks like the floor of the Senate that one time.
Oh, God, that was something else. I was looking at them like, oh, you idiot. Why are you wearing the kente cloth, you idiot?
But
even
like
though what country it's from, you idiot.
How many people have to go through before they were like, right on.
Oh, boy.
That's what I want to know.
Is it too much if we did the Afro wigs? Nancy, yeah, the Afro wigs, or no. But it would have been nice and I would have done the leather glove, the black power. Shut up, Nancy. Shut up. No. Okay. I have a wig. I'm just saying. It's really nice. It was when I was Pam Grier for Halloween back in 1995.
When someone in a show does like is like has been costumed or whatever in a way that's just inexcusable, Max will go like, this is a failure of the whole department. And I think about that every time something like that happens. Like when the Senate thing happened, I'm like, this is a failure of a whole department. Like,
you have
how
been
did
failed.
This many people?
You have been failured. Anyway, so they have a baptism. It's lit.
I love it like, that they smack you with a Bible in the face and then
yo,
they give the baby whatever the name they want.
Okay, so I got to know what's going on. the priest comes up and he's like, it's a male or a female? Off the rip. It's a binary. Which one? Go. What is it?
You know, babies only come in two flavors.
Male or female? What is it? Male. Okay. It's a male. How about a Tibibi Selassie? All right. Next. She's like, great. See, that's your Ethiopian. I don't know. She's like, what the fuck was that? Like, there was like, everyone was confused. Like, he seemed so casual about just conjuring up a name for him. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I know this is the child. Based on my research, this is the name that I feel is appropriate. He was just kind of like, what's, it's a boy?
It's a baby. What research? What are you talking about?
Jimmy Two-Tone. All right. Cool. I like that one.
What I was really thinking is that Binyam is so terrible about giving her any sort of details about anything.
Yeah.
She's just there all wild-eyed during the entire baptism. Like, do you take the baby now? Do you give it back?
What?
I don't know.
Can I stand?
Do I get it back?
Get back?
Do I get it back? No, I don't.
They pulled a machete on me.
Oh, okay. You just take the baby. Oh, do you... Is there some? Oh, he has to be naked now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. They're just gonna.
Oh, we had to prepare a name? We fucking had to come up with a name? What the fuck? Oh, now it's just whatever name he says? Okay, I guess. All right, now they're all putting
Jerry
oil on him?
Schwarzenegger.
Okay. Why is her baby named Django?
Okay, and why did I get cock slapped with a Bible in the middle of this?
That was. So wild. The
it was the was way wild. It was her face was like, just put the Bible, wild Bible smack. It was funny because I don't know if they cut it like that, but they showed a reaction of Binyam kind of laughing because it's like wild invasive to have somebody pull up and just like hit you, like touch your face. Like, put like, oh, here, take this Bible, take that shit. It was,
I gotta say,
else.
It was almost like, too symbolic, like too on the nose. I'm like, Jews been getting hit in the face with Christianity for a long ass time.
That's why I'm also
was
like,
please don't do that.
Did it feel like they were getting dunked on? It's like, yo, you see that? Yo, he hit her with the word of Christ, son. Oh,
I'm pretty sure that's
me?
What that was.
They're like, oh, you know what it is? Oh my God, man, that was so dope. Like, he was like dapping his boys up in the back. They're like, you know what? Put another one on the board for JC, honestly.
And then the other mothers are like getting gently touched, or it's like just floating in the vicinity of their face. And they're like, you better slap the Jew with the Bible right full on the face.
They're like, hit her with it. Oh, man. But if anyone knows, I wish I did some research. I want to know the naming protocols, because if I was there and I paid money for this priest, I would be like, fam, please put a little more energy. Like, don't act like you just improv'd a fake, like, occupation to do the intro of your podcast to just name my child. Put in a little more energy than that, please.
I mean, I remember when I got a Jewish name when I was at camp. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you choose your own name. But then I chose the same name that I guess, like, a lot of the girls wanted, because we were all like, that's the fucking cool name, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
what is it?
Know. I think it was Miriam. We were like, sick.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You're like, hit me with that Miriam. Hit me with that Miriam. No. So then he was like, the rabbi was like, nah. He's like, I like you. You can't be a Miriam like these other bitches. He's like, I'm going to give you another name. It's going to be sick. And I'm like, okay.
And it's going to be sick. Like, you're going to love it. Hold on. Let me go cook something up real quick.
And then he goes, I think he said Sarah Esther, which I think is Queen of the Stars.
That's
a
two-name? Two-name banger?
Yeah, he gave me a two-name for the price of one. Jews
is that
love
good?
A bargain. Hey.
Was that even a good name? Like in the spirit of it?
Who knows, dude? I don't know.
All right, well.
It's not like I rock Sarah Esther, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you just
like
have
religious.
It tatted on your throat.
Yeah, I do. That's it.
Whatever. You know, it finally makes sense. I was like,
it's around my belly
that?
Button, actually, Thug Lifestyle.
You have one there, too? Well, then, I mean, because I'm looking two at places. Your neck right now. It says Sarah Esther, too. And it's a star with a crown on it. I like it. It's kind of a little gaudy for my taste. Don't think you should take up your whole throat.
I mean, but... it's as big as Ariella's Jewish star necklaces are. Remember in that first time we saw her, we were like,
oh, that and her forearm piece. Huge. She had the... They never show her tattoo. I really want to see a close-up of her tattoo.
Yeah, it's big as hell.
Expensive. So yeah, then they have a party.
Where they wrap the baby in Injera. How cute is that?
I was so... When I saw the Injera at first, I was like, oh man, where's the food at? Is it coming out?
And then they put the baby in there.
And I was like, yeah, fuck it. It's still good. Just
I love how she was so confused about just getting the baby wrapped up in Injera. She's like, oh, you mean you want him sitting up? They're like, no.
Oh, no. We're wrapping him
on the side. She's like, no, they're like, put him down like he's asleep, you weirdo. And to me, I'm like, it's natural to wrap a baby up like a burrito. Why would you not just put it on its back?
Well, this is twisting up the child in bread so he may literally be caked in bread. And be fortunate in the financial state when he is an adult.
Money.
Blessed be Avi, a.k.a. Tabibi Selassie. Thank you. And good night. But yeah, Wish, his sister, was like so relieved. The relief was like really, it was interesting to see. And I think Ariella saw that too, is everyone was so relieved. Like it seemed like completely different energy to how everyone was interacting, and like Wish was like, I didn't know if they were gonna fucking do it.
Or
I honestly was ready
or whatever.
I was ready to fucking fight her over this shit, and then she actually did it. I'm like, good for her. And it didn't even take me putting a blade to her at night and take a photo of it while she's sleeping and then text it to her in the middle of the day to fuck with her. And so I like that.
And then Baby got down on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
We love to see it.
You love to see it.
It was nice. And then Ariella said the only thing she's ever said that I've ever liked, which was, I'm going to hold the happiness that I saw Baby's family have in my heart for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so you're not, I guess, a terrible person. Huh. Who knew?
Yeah. Although Janice is trying to be like, come on, honey, here's a carrot. Okay, mm-hmm, bye. Mm-hmm, come over here and mm-hmm. with the baby. Bye. I don't want to have a baby over here in Africa. Bye. But yeah, I but when seeing that relief on like Wish's face, it also just like shows, you know, just in general, like if something is really that important and you're not saying like we must do something that's like life altering, like that a child will like in its physical memory be like, I remember when the baptism was so fucked up. You know what I mean? Like it's a cultural thing, granted. For them, it means one thing, but to just be like, yeah, this means so much to them. It means so much more to them to have it than for me to like get in the way and obstruct it and what the relief is for me as a person. Because at the end of the day, like they're not actually being like, well, fuck, now he's, you know, he could actually still go to hell if he later in life, like strayed away from the church. People do that shit all the time. And like, it's gotta be like, look, man, it's a long life, baby. You know? And if you want to just undermine that shit, you know, when they're away, like, you know, oh, that's bullshit. Right. You know, just stick to your, you know, what we talk about. We worship the iPhone in this house.
I think, you know, that our show only worships one thing, and that's
weed,
the art of the spread.
Yeah. And weed. Weed is inevitably part of the spread.
Religion.
The spread is actually a larger concept for abundance. You know, that's what we mean. The spread can be anything. It can be in friends. It can be in loved ones. It can be in food, money, anything. But that's what it's about, the spread. Yes. But always providing a spread, and understand that a spread will also be provided unto thee. Thank you.
The
and
spread
that has been
provides.
Spreadology. Okay, we'll be right back.
420 Day Fiancé. America's so fucking tight. America.
And we're back. Jihoon and Devin, wowie. They are just getting married very quickly. There's a ham box, as he calls it, or hum box ritual that is going down. And her dad is like, ham? You bring a ham?
So
over.
You're trading
like,
a ham for my box. Daughter?
Okay, so a ham box, so you can get in her ham box.
Ew.
I see.
Miles.
Sorry. I have to go. All right.
I just want to talk about the squid masks before we forget.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about the squid masks.
Because I I don't know if you're going to think I'm real stupid, but when they were talking about the squid masks and I saw them in the squid masks, I still thought they were just masks of squid. Like, I didn't know they're made of squid. I thought the masks were like, ooh, this mask plastic. Looks remarkably like a squid for being made out of paper. When I realized that they're actual dried squid and then that you ate them after having them on your face and that they also smelled like sewage, that added a whole other dimension to the situation. But do you think that she said that and she was just being like
xenophobic trash?
Yeah.
I eat dried squid all the time. This shit is not, I mean, it smells, it smells like fish. It smells like dried fish, but to add the layer of sewage to be like,
it's, I like it's dried shit fish and I like shrimp chips and shit. So it's not like I'm against that. But I wanted to know if when you buy the masks, maybe they've been laying out. How does it work?
What do you mean, how does it work? I mean, you probably just buy it from somebody who got the mask and then. Or you buy them dry and you just know how to make a mask out of it. I don't know. I just
want to know what the deal is. I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, look, if you're a squid mask.
I did kind of want to chew it because it looked crunchy.
You've never had like super dry, like dried out full on squid?
I've had jerky, before? But I don't think I've had like squid jerky.
Oh, man. Okay. It's good. And it's like a otsumami, like a little snack you eat when you drink in Japan. Like a salty snack.
I've had that as like a little side in Japan, in Tokyo.
Yeah, there's like that. And then they have them in larger pieces. But like, that's the vibe of it. You know, if it's like just dried and salted. It looks like a run over face, though.
The thing that made me feel weird about it is that I was like, it has to be some sort of moldable to be able to fit on your face as a mask, right?
Right.
And then also it like heats on your face while you wear it. That's why I thought the sewage thing might be a real thing. Don't know.
Oh, hey, look, I'll eat a squid mask all day. You know what I mean? I could eat a squid mask for hours. And Alicia,
I would have done the thing where you bring it like a mask to eat on the way home. Where like, like you put it in a little bag and you're like, this one's not for wearing. This one's for me to snack on.
Oh, look at you, fancy. Did you see that? She bought a snacking mask. What about the one she was wearing?
I'm an innovator.
No, she's a fucking traitor. Get her. But Alicia, the whole time, Devin's mom, like this was happening, she was just like, I am just loving this tradition of the ancient people of the Orient. It is so interesting to see. It's just fascinating. It was just like this very patronizing form of being respectful. I think she did enjoy it, but like the way her like subconscious or even her full-on conscious part of how she's speaking is just like out there like, oh, and it's wow, what a thing to see with these wacky
I just think
people.
She was like walking on air after finding that their apartment was nice and that they were getting along and things were good.
Yeah.
I think at that point, if he like showed up with like a mask that was made out of like his own shit, she would have been like, you know what? I love the culture here. It's really unique. It's unique. That's one thing is I love about it. It's unique.
Okay, quick question. What did you think of Devin's dress?
I thought it was unique. No, okay. I love her dress, actually.
Okay. Yeah,
I frequently do not like the dresses, but I thought that was pretty good. Did you not like it? Did you hate it?
No, I don't have an opinion on it. I was just curious what you thought of it. It seemed very her. It was like very like gothy.
I like the flowers. I'm not usually into long sleeve dresses, but I thought that was really nice.
Yeah. You know, do you in whatever way works for you, Devin.
You clearly did not like it.
No, I just think it's ugly. So let's move on to Tim and May Lisa. I mean, it wasn't ugly. I'm just like, I just don't like her in real life right now. So,
well, yeah, because that's the thing about the show and real life. It's like, this is why we've been keeping them separate. Because in real life, she's like a weird anti-vaxxer, like trash person that's like mean to Devin.
Yeah, like lying about Ji-hoon.
I mean, mean to Ji-hoon and his whole family and stuff. I don't know. But if we knew that, if every single person is problematic on the show.
Yeah, and even including the hosts of this podcast. So let's move on to Tim.
We've been each canceled several times by each other and ourselves.
You heard my joke about the Hom box. I mean, I'm trying to get out. Please send money to me so I can buy some honey buns for my birthday. Tim and Melissa, they have a talk on the bridge because Tim has decided he's in Colombia. He's in Medellin, and he's here with Melissa, and they got to talk on a bridge because I finally decided what to do in my relationship. And you know, the deal is, honey, like, I got no money. Can't be wasting it. So, like, I got to do the best thing for us long term, which is to basically leave and go
back
to
the US. One thing I learned how to do is cry really hard. So maybe if I just keep crying really hard, things work out.
Melissa, mírame. Mírame.
I'm moving back because I'm almost broke. My job won't extend me anymore. And I'm honestly too tall to live here. So
sorry.
Thought I'd just probably pack up my pounds and pounds of my
Mas Alto
flesh and just get out of here.
Exactly. You're muy pequeña. Doesn't work for me.
He needs a job. He needs a visa. So he's like, I'll be there till I get a job. Like from there and it's secure. So I'm not just coming here burning through cash. She's like, this is bullshit. I don't understand. Like, you said you were going to do this. You're going back on your word. And it's like, honey, I'm pretty sure you were scamming him. So is this how you actually feel now? Because she suddenly started giving a fuck when he threatened to leave.
I feel like we found out everything there was to know about her when we saw her cry for the first time after he left.
Right.
It's like she cannot let him see her vulnerable at all after the fact that he cheated on her.
Yeah.
And there's
a lot
like
of pride.
So little trust between the two of them. Each of them says the same thing to each other. Like, now if you go away, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I can trust this. And it's like, neither of you trust each other. And unless you address that, I don't know what the fuck you think is happening.
Because she's like, they just look at each other always suspicious of each other. And
there's never like
he's
love.
Like, hey, amor, te amo mucho. And you know, I love you, babe, you know.
And she's like looking at him like, and she's like, okay, papi, you know, te amo mucho. And they both don't know. Who knows? They just can't communicate.
Like, she just said she loved him literally as after he was leaving. It's like everything I need to know about your relationship.
Yeah.
Just played out in that whole thing of like
you're doing the
you
thing
can
where
only be vulnerable once it's like no longer
too late
thing.
When
yeah.
It's quite literally a thing like in a movie where the person's leaving on a train and you're running along the platform like, I love you, oh my god, Melissa, te amo mucho, and then you gotta run into something because it's a comedy, folks. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see what happens.
All right.
Anyway, with that, thanks for listening. We're going to be back to talk a little bit more about Married at First Sight because, you know, it's about to, it's percolating. You know, we're getting there. Starting to get into the weird shit, aka the actual weddings and then the honeymoons. So stick around or, you know, tune in for that. We'll have fun with that. 420 Day Fiancé is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, check us out on Twitter and Instagram at 420dayfiance, twitch.tv/420dayfiance. Me, Sophia Alexandra. Find me at The Sophia, SOFIYA, on Twitter and Instagram. And also my other podcast, Private Parts Unknown, with Courtney Kosak and my comedy album, Father's Day.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam.
And you can find me, Miles Gray, on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. That's Gray with an A. And you can find me also on my daily podcast, The Daily Zeitgeist, with Jack O'Brien and super cool guests. Okay,
super
bye.
Cool. All right. Talk to you later. Toodles.
20 Day Fiancé.